Thank you for listening to the Fail-Safe Moment. Grab a cup of coffee and let's join Rob Statham for another informative discussion helping people learn from things that go wrong.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I am very honored today to be talking with Lauren Mooney. Lauren wrote a book, High Reliability in Action, that I've had a chance to read. And I know anyone listening to this, you would do yourself a favor if you went out and went through it. What appealed to me was it's a practical guidebook to help people out in the field apply things. And that is so needed in this world. So, Lauren, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate your time. It's an honor to have you here. I know you were trained as a nurse, but you have a tremendous background, and we'll talk about that a little bit and why you wrote the book. But tell us a little bit about yourself, Lauren, and welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me to talk about my passion, high reliability organizing, the way that the HROs work. I never dreamed that I would be studying nuclear Navy early in my career, but I found a real tie. And that is also tie with many, all high risk industries, is that we are navigating unexpected and unclear events routinely. But we put so much of our attention on what the work we already know and completing our plans. But so much happens that's outside of our plans. And in order to achieve our mission, we're going to have to know how to navigate that. So my background was in emergency nursing, where everything is unexpected. Much of it is unclear. I then went on to supervise a hospital off shift, where I got to watch a whole system work. And my entire job was responding to unexpected events where we were suddenly beyond plan. They were calling me because the plan was failing. There was no policy for this extremely strange situation that had popped up. And then I had family members who were very ill. And my daughter, who's recovered, my brother-in-law, who fought a horrible disease for 9 years. And I really got to watch people gather around uncertainty and unexpected events. And I saw how their mindset and the actions they took could lead to failure or like amazing success.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, long story short, I thought I'd be a legal nurse consultant. And I said, boy, I don't want to look backwards at these cases. What's the proactive answer here? But before I found what I consider the best proactive safety strategy, I created a database of severe medical harm. And during that time, I found some patterns. I talk about them in the book. They're called the UNS. Any of you out there in high-risk work, when things go awry, have you noticed that, oops, we just didn't see it, it was unseen? Actually, we did see it, but it wasn't clear what it was, and we treated it as if it was something else, and we had a bad outcome.
It's so easy. You recognize warning signs after something happens, right? That's mm-hmm. what I love. Yeah, you're trying to get us to see those things real time, recognize
yes,
those and react.
Exactly. So folks like you, so important. And it's how I started learning from failures. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what if we can actually learn in real time
yes.
and adjust what we call in HRO a weak signal? So you look back and it was there, but we didn't quite respond to that weak signal in a way that was going to produce the success. So the book is written for, absolutely anyone dealing with what I call the challenges of complexity. I said, if this has been my life, it's been there's a lot of suffering involved, and I didn't want to see what I had learned go to waste.
Sure.
But I also wanted this, Robin. I know you've read the book, and I'm glad you saw this. We spend a lot of time talking about what is high reliability organizing. Some of you may be familiar with the there's five hallmarks, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes it gets stuck there. And I would say at that point, the real practice of HRO is still stuck in the ivory tower of academia. Okay. So it was beautifully, they went out and said, what's going right in these industries? They went with that question. How are you doing it, Navy, carrier.
Sure.
And then they took what they found, which was very practical, and then kind of abstracted it into academic terms, okay, and mindfulness of Ellen Langer of Harvard, et cetera, and then it kind of got stuck there. So my goal was to say, let's not just talk about what high reliability organizing is. Let me tell you why I'm asking you to think, consider working in this way, and then really give you the how. Well, what do you want me to do when something weird has come up and I'm have a knot in my stomach or I'm afraid? So I wanted to equip people because I also felt like a level of empathy, truly, for not just healthcare workers, but people who are tasked with working in uncertainty, but then never fully equipped.
Sure. And one thing that you gave as a tool right off the bat that I saw is you broke those five principles into nine steps to help us recognize things, and nine, really, to me, they were action items, things I can do. I can ask myself to help me recognize that. That was one thing that's what instantly caught me, and I was like, wow, how helpful to be able to apply the principle. Tell me about the prompts that you've given to help us apply things, the how, if you will, Lauren.
Oh, sure. I love to talk about my beloved infographics. I never knew I would love infographics so much, but I try to boil everything down to its core element that we can then put in our pocket and take with us as we work. So I have three frameworks. The first actually is the attitude, because really, a lot of organizations are out there saying, all right, well, we want to practice. No one's ever truly a high reliability organization. They did call them that, but you can only say at the end of the day, we were a highly reliable organization today, because they all know that tomorrow they could fail. So the raw material of high reliability organizing is really a mindset and a collective attitude towards
Right.
their work. So this particular quote very much links to the first action. Well, okay, so we have attitudes, we have actions, you're right. So there's seven attitudes, there's nine actions, and there's nine questions. And if you can sort of get comfortable with these, you will be well on your way to practicing HRO. But the first action is actually acknowledge the presence of unknowns. Now, does that sound simple?
Well, it sounds simple, yes, but I from my background and my experience, it's one of the hardest things. We become blind to those things. We get so used to things that I think it's a very difficult thing to do.
Exactly. So you can give it lip service. Hey, there's things we don't know as we work today. But did we plan that way? Do we have conversations that acknowledge the unknowns? Do we write an email knowing that someone knows something about the situation that I don't? And right? So how does that acknowledgement of the unknown permeate all the ways we work?
This is where, yeah, you bring in, you talked about attitudes, and I love you introduce an animal to help us remember the attitudes that helped me. I still have young girls in the home too, and they're like, "What are you doing? What are you reading?" And they liked it too, but at the top of the list, at least in my mind, I hope I'm not getting this out of order, was humility. That's as we're sitting here talking about that, and you're saying, "Is that easy to do, or is that difficult to do?" My goodness, without humility, it's almost impossible to do. But with humility, then you can ask those questions, because you have to admit that maybe I don't know everything, and it might be your job to know those things, right? So it's You have to disarm yourself, I guess.
It is. And you know, that's why. So the attitude infographic is actually in a circle, and in the center is our humility animal, which is the penguin. And I chose the penguin because one of the sort of maps, besides the how, I offer two maps. One is sort of what I call the known and unknowns. And we're really like a little penguin on an iceberg of knowledge, where what we know is so much less than what we don't know. What we don't know is bigger. But do we act like that? So our humble penguin, amazing little animals, what they get done with not too many resources. They're our icon for humility and that questions that go with that. So we flow from let's acknowledge that there are unknowns. Let's embrace an attitude of humility, both intellectual, meaning I might not know everything, and situational, they probably know things I don't in this situation. And then let's start asking questions to others. What must go right in this situation? And then, of course, the famous what might go wrong, leaning into that preoccupation with failure. So these examples of acknowledging the unknown, practicing humility, asking these questions. This is all bringing to life the hallmark of preoccupation with failure, right? It doesn't mean walking around in a having a nervous breakdown.
So, what's next with a complex environment to apply these things?
Oh, absolutely. So now you know, well, let me use my favorite quote from the book. Knowing the world they face is complex, unstable, unknowable, and unpredictable, they position themselves to see as much as possible. Now, that's why there's a meerkat on the front of my book. I don't have the exact picture. My favorite picture is, here's a meerkat. He's responsible for seeing threats to his tribe, and they climb up into a prickly tree high above the ground because why? They're on the lookout for trouble. Now, interestingly, I have another picture of a meerkat in a zoo where things are predictable, and he's lounging back on his elbow, you know, like he's on a beach chair because he is now a predictable routine. So the next thing we need to do, knowing we have unpredictability, is be very sensitive to what's going on around us. So there's the vigilance. Okay, so our meerkat represents vigilance. The piece, when people, if you're pursuing high reliability organizing and you're not addressing mindfulness, it's a very specific type of mindfulness, you're probably going to be very much crippled in your journey. And that is really the mindset of I'm always noticing new things in my environment. And then I'm being really careful how I interpret them. So, in terms of being sensitive to operations, we're fighting the autopilot, right? The complacency. We are like, well, here we go again. And it's going to be the same today as yesterday. Instead, we're asking question number five. What's surprising? We're scanning our environment for something new and unexpected. And then we're embracing another attitude is we're being curious towards it. So that's the next part. So now we know we're going to be preoccupied with failure. Now let's be sensitive to what's happening as we work. Yeah.
And now you have to decide what to do with it, right? That's once you recognize.
Yes, and that's so huge. And this is where we fall down, and we fall down because of our human nature and also because of time pressure. We notice something surprising, and this is where I came up with the HRO no-no phrase. You probably saw it in the book. When we notice something, I smell a little bit of smoke. The next three words that might come out of your mouth are the ones you should not say is, it's probably just, okay? It's probably just the neighbor barbecuing. It's probably just there's a rock in the tire. Whatever it is, Uncertainty is uncomfortable, and there's a whole bunch of biases that lead us to filling in that blank with something familiar. It's going to be not too scary. It's going to be what the boss thinks. It's probably just blank. So I say we don't say the no-no phrase. We ask, what else could this possibly be? And we start to invite perspectives on, here's something that's not right. Okay. We could say something. They used a bad word. I won't use that. My parents would be upset. But the star is the something that ain't right. Something that ain't right. Okay. So, what do we do with that? And that is leads to the very much misinterpreted hallmark called reluctance to simplify. Have you heard that?
I haven't.
Okay. It just came up the other day. But the real phrase is reluctance to simplify interpretations, meaning don't take the first story, don't take your first instinct of what's actually happening. You're going to actually dig deeper. So this is where Carl Weick and Kathleen Sutcliffe, they have a term called enactment. And it means we act to learn. We enter the situation. So that is actually action six. So when that something shows up, instead of putting it in a little comfy box or moving away from it, be like, oh, I'll just pretend I didn't see that, we have to move towards uncertainty. And I will tell you that in my own life, I have seen it absolutely save lives. And I've also had a time where I didn't move fast enough towards uncertainty. And I feel like we lost our horse for that reason. So, not just mentally move towards it, but physically, if it's safe, excuse me, bring yourself to the proximity of what is not right. And then bring others so that you're not, uncertainty creates, besides the discomfort, it takes time. And I would say, man, how many times it's like, well, we could have explored that, but then we were gonna be late to close out our work.
Yeah, that's the time pressure. You brought it up earlier too, that people face in all I probably in all industries that I've been exposed to one extent or another. Some are certainly worse than others, but so difficult with the time pressure. I think if you look back over any time that you've worked, we're doing more with less, which ends up squeezing us. Isn't it just so easy to fall into the habit of getting used to things that we don't understand or are we're uncertain about, but it didn't blow up, it didn't bite us, so we've been uncertain with it for months or years, or it's been that way since I started. That's what's so important. That's the honestly, if I had to grab one thing that I love about High Reliability in Action, your book here is helping wake us up to recognize when to act. Obviously, you can't look at everything, but there are ones that you need to notice, you need to
Yes.
respond to.
And this is very, very important in terms of high reliability organizing. One of the things that will have to happen is that leaders are going to have to create the conditions where it's okay for others to say, I'm not even sure if there's a problem. So it's one thing, let's say you feel uncertain about speaking up. You're not even certain that you're speaking up about something certain. So we have to remove that fear of, no, I don't know if something's wrong, but there could be. And the quickest thing you can do is just get someone else, right? And then that other person who's also trained with that questioning attitude, now you're not alone in it, okay? And then and then the key is it's rewarded. At the end of the day, and this is the kicker for high reliability, where this is the price you pay. Sometimes you're going to explore things that turn out to be nothing. And you have to be willing to tolerate that. And and say that's okay, because you're going to tomorrow that could prevent a huge failure. That exact
And ultimately, even not just tolerate it, celebrate it, right?
That part, exactly right.
Yeah, that.
And all of these things that are that take a time or you know, may cause some even some tough conversations or even conflict, right? Well, I think it's this. Well, I don't think it's that. You have to say that's okay. This is a healthy way. This is normal.
Sure.
A normal, healthy way to work. Of course, not. We don't know what it is yet. So why wouldn't we have differing opinions? That's all right.
Yeah. My gosh, our time is flying by. I may have to have you on again, Lauren.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I guess over a couple things I still wanted to talk about. One was you mentioned speaking up here in our last conversation, and what is speaking in? I certainly want you had to have an opportunity to talk to us about speaking in. That may be hand in hand with as people listen, right? Who you are and what you're about.
Sure. And maybe we could do a different podcast just on speaking in. So
Sure.
As I studied under my wonderful mentor, David Van Strelen, a brilliant physician, he would send me all kinds of articles. And one was on ambiguity from the military. Ambiguity means we don't use the word much. We should. It means what we're looking at could have more than one meaning. Okay, so we can call it unclear. And your number one strategy is those diverse perspectives. Okay. Now, the problem is, I said, well, okay, we need diverse perspectives. Let me look at speaking up. And this particularly, I started with healthcare. And what I found is that the speaking up situation is abysmal. And in a global metasynthesis, they said, you know, most healthcare providers find speaking up unsafe and ineffective. I'm like, well, there's a healthcare crisis.
Yeah.
And I just, as I studied, I just realized that the whole strategy of telling people to speak up, it hasn't worked. No matter where I went. Now it could work, but it's only working because the leaders actually are doing different things while they're telling people to speak up. And I just said, what if we just abandon that strategy for a new one? So speaking in means that we apply the research we already have, and leaders, instead of passively telling people to speak up, are intentionally including, inviting, and then appreciating diverse perspectives. And they're doing it in a very specific way using fear-reducing questions. And all of a sudden, everyone realizes, okay, they actually do want to hear my perspective. And I'm seeing I don't need to be fearful. And really, the leaders are the ones that have to create that environment of psychological safety. So it's a tool and a strategy for them to do that.
Yeah, I love it. It so complements the book you wrote with High Reliability in Action, right? The same, we're talking about, I guess, attitudes, the way we approach uncertainty or, in my world, failure. I guess it's, you just have to determine what a failure is. So, well, over your experience, over your career, over the last 20 years or so, I guess let me close with this. If you would share with us, what do you like about what has happened with safety, with high reliability in action? What are you encouraged about? How's maybe that's what the way I want to say it. What encourages you about our progress? And also, I guess the flip side of the coin, what's Lauren Mooney concerned about over the last 20 years that you would like to see improvement for the future generations coming?
Sure. So the promising thing is when I really started studying this deeply about 2015, we were so system focused that it was just the system, the system, the system. And I thought, well, what about the, you know, millions of people that get up every day and put on their uniforms and go to work, and
Yeah.
do they matter? Where do they, how do they fit in? And now, and okay, this is a key piece of high reliability. It's taking our view of people, our how, not just how we see them, but also changing their self-identity from I'm a liability, people make mistakes, okay, I'm a liability, to I'm an agent of high reliability. So in
I
my
love that.
model, right? So liability to agent of high reliability, that is a whole different being, okay? How, and we can change our language, culture, policies, response to issues to send that message, to prove that's what we believe. So the people in one of my maps is called The Wonderful Wild World We Work In, and it just describes the layers of complexity. And what I say about people is, we're fabulous first, okay? Yes, we're fallible, but for every time we have a little, we fail, we have saved the system and worked around and closed a gap many, many, many more times. So I think realizing is what people can do, not just where we fall short. Most disturbing to me now, I have to say, and this will be highlighting this on our Community of Human and Organizational Learning, November 13th at 7 p.m. You can find it on LinkedIn. Follow me, I'll be posting about it. We're going to talk about AI. And my question about AI is, as people who care deeply about organizational performance, we care deeply about people. We're, you know, we there's a big safety piece, okay? We're more than safety, but it matters a lot, right? And it's an art of operational excellence. Are we treating AI through the lens of everything we know about anomalies, about surprise, about new entities? And I know for myself, when I saw the pandemic coming very early. When I saw them building the hospitals in China, all I kept saying is, this is not a weak signal. This is a very strong signal. We're in for a lot of trouble. And I had all the PPE in the world for my husband, who's a dentist. Well, because I was buying masks while they were still on the shelves at Lowe's N95s, because I said, that's not a weak signal. That's a strong signal. And in HRO, we would mount it. So if you see a weak signal, HRO says, now show me a strong response, not a weak response. I feel that we have strong signals, very strong, from leaders within AI that we have opportunities, but real threats. And I'm not sure that we're walking our talk around safety when it comes to AI.
Yeah, my goodness, that's I think that's a series of podcasts you're closing there. That's fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Lauren. It's been so good, so good. I look forward to chatting with you. If people want to follow you, LinkedIn, what's the best way to connect, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. So LinkedIn is just Lauren Mooney. I also have a speaking in site on LinkedIn as well. The website's my email, of course, feel free, Lauren, LAURIN, at speakingin.org. Yeah, and there speakingin.org is a website. And the main company is BeHighlyReliable.com. So there's also a website for that. But I'm happy to connect with anyone on LinkedIn. Yes, the book is available. The ebook is extremely budget friendly, and there's an active link. The key thing about the book that we should have touched on, Rob, is that these prompts are just prompts, okay? But they can shape what you do. And what brings the book to life is you going out and practicing them in tiny baby steps in your work, and then they become magic. Right now, it is just okay. And that's the magic of the book. Tiny over 10 weeks, Go out and just ask one question different at a meeting and watch what happens. And I believe you'll be rewarded. So I hope
Yeah.
you can check out the book and the live fillable work worksheet, or buy the paperback if you're old-fashioned like me.
Yeah, that's what I have, and yeah, I highly recommend it. The front cover sums it all up, right? High reliability in action. It's a guidebook to recognize risk, respond early, and adapt effectively to ensure success in complex, high risk work. Yeah, so good, so good.
Oh,
Well, until next time, Lauren, thank you so much for your time.
thank you.
Yep.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to the Failsafe Moment. We'd love to hear from you. Share your comments and questions below or contact us through our website, www.failsafe-network.com. Once again, that's www.failsafe-network.com. Until next time, have a great day.